If you could just give us 1 minute, folks. It's good to be back with you. We're having a little technical difficulty with one of the cameras. What else is new? So give us a second to take care of that, and we'll be starting worship shortly once we can get that connected. Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It is so nice to be back here in worship with you in person. We'll be getting people momentarily adjusted to Facebook Live and Zoom. We're so excited that we have this opportunity to return to worship since it's been mid-November since the last time we've been able to worship in our sanctuary together. And it's almost been a year since this has started, this pandemic. And what gives me a lot of hope today is this is our second return. And I'm seeing a lot of different faces that weren't able to return the first time because of vaccines and comfort level and things like that. So I think it reminds us, as we talk about hope this Lenten season, that hope continues to grow around us, among us, and within us. And we have the ability to celebrate that in person and online today, and we are grateful for that. A few announcements before we get started. Once again, please remember, those of you that are worshiping here, you'll have a bulletin on the screen for you. Those of you that are online, you're welcome to go to scmchurch.org and follow along there, or you can look at our weekly email, and the bulletin will always be attached to that as well. Excuse me, take this down. We want to thank you first and foremost, those of you that are here, for following our COVID-19 guidelines. We know there are quite a few, but that is for your protection and for the protection of all. And I just want to say that throughout this process, everybody has been so considerate and good with that, and we are so grateful for that, and we ask that you keep up the good work with that. Please contact Pastor Ben or the Joint Board if you have any questions or concern about those guidelines at all. We're always happy to communicate. And also, don't forget this Wednesday, Food on the Fly is still going on from 4:30 to 6. Sales continue to remain strong, so we encourage you to get there early. $8 a meal, carry out only. It really is a great ministry that serves the church, and it's great to see how many non-Shenron people come and support that as that ministry continues to grow. And then while you go get your meal from 4:30 to 6, that's a perfect little snack right before you go into our midweek Lenten gathering on Zoom, which is a countywide Moravian gathering. It is not successive each week. You're welcome to join us any week you are available. But all the people that have been in it have really enjoyed getting to be in small groups with people from different churches and different pastors and getting to hear different opinions. And it really has been a meaningful study looking at the different people who surround Jesus at the cross and in a modern perspective, thinking about what they were going through as well. But that is from 7 to 8 on Zoom, and that is the same Zoom link we use for worship and Sunday school. And we are grateful to return to Zoom Sunday school this morning, 8:30 to 9:15. Remember, that is still staying every other week, so we will be back to that on the 21st. That's all I have for announcements. At this time, let us rise and extend the right wave of fellowship. Wonderful. You may be seated. Our watchword this week comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Amen.
First scripture reading is from 1 Samuel 17, 31 to 50. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around, because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and, with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. Our second scripture is John 2:13-22. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market." Then his disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then responded to him, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." They replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken.
Thank you, Becky, for that reading of God's holy word. In our prayer concerns this week, remember, because we are back to in-person worship, I will share with you some of the prayer concerns that we are able to share, and then I'll turn the rest over for those of you that are here in person to look at the prayer concerns on the screen. Those of you that are home can listen to this beautiful music as well and get connected to our prayer chain that we send out on Wednesday, and uplift those people in prayer, or take some personal reflective prayer time for yourself as well. For the prayers I can share this week, we'll start with a prayer of joy this week. We'll celebrate that Chloe Martin has accepted the opportunity to go to West Virginia University this next fall. So let's give her a round of applause and celebrate. And since we're recording, I'll have my wife throw in some CGI, and we'll put you, Chloe, right here with the West Virginia jersey, and we'll be all happy and joyful right there. And my wife's looking at me like we have a huge CGI budget right now, so that's wonderful. Also in our prayer concerns this week, we continue to uplift everyone who is in the COVID-19 battle, those who have been afflicted by this illness, our first responders, our doctors, our nurses, We give thanks that numbers continue to be on the decline, more vaccines continue to be developed, and more people are able to have access to them. So we continue to pray for the healing of our world in this tremendous battle. We also want to offer prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope this week to the family of Gavin Carlisle. Gavin was 22 and passed away this past week. On Friday morning, he was killed in a shooting right here in New Philadelphia. So we uplift him and his family in our prayers this week. In our prayer chain, please remember we have many people that we'll be thinking about, people who are undergoing brain surgeries, people who are rehabbing, recovering, people who have personal family members who have been impacted by COVID-19. So let's take some time to reflect on those concerns, and then after that we'll come together in a moment of corporate prayer together. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you today, and the first and foremost thing that is in our hearts is gratitude. For we have the opportunity to be in person worshiping you again, something that we have taken for granted most of our lives, but today we do not. Today there is so much joy in our hearts for the ability to gather, to worship God together. And we also give thanks for those who are worshiping with us on Zoom and Facebook, reminding us that the body of Christ is connected in so many unique and different ways, much more powerful than we've realized over this past year. Gracious God, we have so many prayer concerns on our hearts, so many people who have undergone serious surgeries, so many families who are dealing with the difficulty of grief, so many families who are dealing with isolation and hardship and not knowing what the future holds. Help us to know that it is in your hands. Before the words we even utter on our lips are even a thought, you are taking care of that concern. So help us to trust in you, God, and your ever-present hand. And this Sunday, help us on our Lenten journey as we continue to look for sources of hope in our life. And help us to remember, as David slayed the beast, so we too can slay the expectations that others place on us and be reminded so much that God will provide us in every battle we are up against with exactly what we need. And we are so grateful for that. May your love, your mercy, and your grace pour openly through each and every one of us. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. We now turn our hearts and our minds to our offering. We once again want to give thanks to all of you who continue to give to stmchurch.org. For those of you who are in person, there is an offering plate in the back. If you prefer to give your gift in person, you can drop it in the plate back there as well. And we just want to continue to encourage you to be good stewards of the gifts that you have been given, of the spiritual gifts, of the financial gifts, of the physical gifts that God gives each of us. Let us continue to share and grow.
Let us pray. Loving Savior, this Lenten season, help us to slow down and focus on the gift of your redeeming love. May we strive to share your love faithfully and wholeheartedly with all of our neighbors. Amen.
We now turn our hearts and our minds to our children's chat. Our kids can remain seated. As we'll have an opportunity to talk, and it is also a youth Sunday, so kids have been invited to bring their toys or objects if they have one to share with me as well, as we have some fun for our children's chat this week. Let me bring one of my toys and objects, or I shouldn't say toy, I brought my object. These have been my church pants for the last 6 months. This week we're talking about expectations, about exceeding the expectations of others. And I don't know about you, but a year ago, when I had these were my workout pants, these were my garden pants. 12 months later, I have a very strong spiritual connection to these sweatpants. I don't know if you feel that. These are my church pants, these are my work pants, these are my get up out of the morning and do my workout in the TV room pants. And so I've grown close to these pants, and they have exceeded my expectations. So to make you all more comfortable today, I'm going to get you a little more comfortable. Because all of us, we're transitioning back. We're exceeding expectations. We're coming together as the body of Christ. And I'm going to stall as long as it takes me to get these pants on.
Please don't fall.
And luckily we have this live, so I can't just edit this part out when I realize I'm being dumb. All right, kids, so let's see what you brought. Let me see your toy. Let me see your object. As we all get comfortable in our own pants back in church today. All right, let's see. So we're talking about expectations. We're talking about exceeding expectations. So we're going to start with Nick over here. Nick's got a basketball. He's got a nice McGregor basketball. And what I love about that is that is a simple basketball. Get the job done. Let me see it. It is a nice little ball. And I bet you shot quite a few shots with this, right? It's taught you a lot about the game. It's where you've learned your fundamentals. It's very important, because I bet when your mom bought this ball for you, it exceeded her expectations about how much it's kept you occupied, how much you've played basketball, how far you've grown since you started playing basketball. So let's see, Rylan, what do you got? Rylan has got his Captain America action figure. And I love that, because Captain America, we probably don't have the licensing for this part, talk about Captain America a little bit, but the important thing about Captain America is that he started out as this guy named Steve, I believe, right? And he's a little skinny guy. Nobody expected much of him. But what happened to Steve, Rylan? He got what? He got strong. He went through a difficult hardship and came back as Captain America 70 years later to restore and to help people and to become a superhero. Aubrey, what do you have? Aubrey's got Val back there, and there is somebody who exceeded expectations a lot in her life, because what did people expect from Val? Just to be a girl that read in the library, and she was going to be stuck in this dungeon, and she exceeded expectations every day of her life by helping people, by helping the beast, by getting him stronger and doing things like that. So let's see what other objects we got back here. Peyton, Reese, you got anything? Reese has got a unicorn. That speaks for itself right there. Unicorns always exceed expectations. Nobody ever looks bad on a unicorn, do they? Like, you know that they come to bring love and joy and to bring good stuff into the world. Paige, what do you got?
A hyena.
A hyena. Ooh, there's a challenge right there. You're supposed to go easy my first week back. So hyenas. Whenever I see a hyena, I think we all think about Lion King, right? We think about how difficult and forgotten they were in Lion King. And a lot of them were mean because of it. But I bet you if those hyenas were taken care of by a church, by a kingdom that loved them, they would have been much nicer and happier animals. And I think that reminds us to exceed the expectations we have when it comes to loving other people and caring for God's creation as well. So when we go into our message, I want you all kids to be thinking about, what do people expect from me? What do my parents expect from me? What does God expect from me? What do the people in my classroom expect from me? And you can go two ways with that. You can try to keep expectations low, like my sweatpants down here, or you can try to go above the bar. You can try to exceed people's expectations. And sometimes that's hard, sometimes that's challenging, but guess what? It's worthwhile. Because if you strive for excellence, if you strive to be the best disciple you can be, you're going to exceed your own expectations. You're going to exceed the expectations that your parents have on you, and you're going to make a lot of people proud and a lot of people happy. So look for opportunities in your life where you can exceed expectations, just like Captain America did, just like Nick does on the basketball court, just like Reese does with the unicorn, reminding us that our imagination can even exceed our own expectations. So there are plenty of opportunities for you to do that around you. Let's have a moment of prayer. Gracious God, we come before you today and we want to thank you so much for these kids, for the ability to hear their smile and their laughter in the midst of our sanctuary. It is such a gift. And as we come before you, we ask that even us as adults place heavy expectations on ourselves to be the best that we can be. Please forgive us when we don't live up to those high expectations, but also push us, gracious God, to be the best disciple we can be. Because we know that people like David would have never achieved to be the person that they were called to be if it wasn't for you, God, pushing them, you, God, creating opportunities for them, and you, God, reminding them how much strength and faith they have. To remind these kids that they are strong and faithful servants of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So as we transition into our message time today, I want to start by looking at asking you a question. Those of you that have a whiteboard nearby, go ahead and grab those right there. Those of you that don't worry about it. I'm just looking for a few responses to this question. So when we're talking about framing expectations about what we want to be and how we strive to be as children of God, I thought it was important to start with that one question we're all asked in third grade. What do you want to be when you grow up? So I want those of you that are older to go back to that question, and I want you to think about, what did you want to be when you were in third grade? We're going to see if you met your expectations, exceeded your expectations, or if your expectations turned completely. So take a second to write on your whiteboard and just, what did you want to be when you were in third grade? All right, let's see some responses. What did you want to be when you were in third grade? A doctor. I like that, Charlotte. To be in fourth grade. There we go. Jim's going the low expectations. Firefighter. I took you a long time to do that. A vet. There's a good one. A skateboarder. Ben and Jerry taste tester. There's a career goal right there. Babysit. Reese, you're going to be in third grade soon. So, yeah, that's definitely good to have expectations. Mine was a baseball player or a writer. Those were two things that I wanted to be. A professional soccer player, absolutely. Those would be very cool and high dreams to have. So I think it's important for us to go back and think about the dreams and the expectations that we have as children of God. Because some of you may have had your whiteboard answer, some of you may have to think back, yeah. So think about, really, what did I want to be when I was in third grade? But most importantly, I want you to get back to that feeling of what it was like to dream, to exceed high and have big expectations for yourself. Because I want you to think about, how do you feel about that dream position you had in third grade now? How do you feel about that today? Do you feel like it's a mission accomplished? I don't know if you got to go to the Ben and Jerry's Corporate Center yet, Missy, so I'm maybe not quite a goal to be reached yet. How about that? A career goal to still be reached. Is it a mission accomplished? Is it a good laugh for you? I think a lot of us had a lot of good chuckles about what we want to be when we grow up. Or for some of us, it might even be a little bit more difficult. It could be a sore spot for us that you didn't achieve those expectations. For some of you, it might even make you regret your current or retired occupation. Or perhaps it's just the opposite. Perhaps it makes you feel thankful for the stability that your current life offers. That you know that you're anchored in something and that you're not reliant on me being a baseball player. A minor league baseball player makes less than minimum wage, actually, if you look at the numbers. So I'm grateful for the occupation that I have right now. But the important thing to think about is the expectations we have in life for ourselves and for others. Oh, yes, I can go ahead and take my mask off. Sorry, I keep forgetting that. How we manage expectations for ourselves and others is such an important part of the human experience, of who we are as children of God. Because when we get down to it, we are natural people pleasers. I don't know about you, but I live to please other people. And many of us have an internal desire to meet or exceed the expectations of others. And that is why when we were in third grade or are about to be in third grade like some of us, we can handle the anger of mom and dad. We can handle them being upset with us. But when they use the word disappointment with us, our ears perk up a little bit, don't they? When we hear that word disappointment. Because when we hear that word, we understand that we are about to learn a life lesson that we will never forget. Because nobody wants to disappoint their parents, and nobody wants to do it again and again. And it makes me think about Adam and Eve and the first signs of disappointment in the Bible. And they hid in the garden after they let God down. Because I believe they feared God's disappointment more than God's anger in that moment. Disappointment and shame are powerful human triggers. They always have been. And our scripture today is another familiar biblical passage for us to look at, the story of David and Goliath. This is a biblical story that is rich with lessons on how human beings can greatly mishandle expectations, or we take expectations for granted. First of all, look at David. Look at David in the story, such a familiar biblical character. But people greatly misunderstand him from the beginning of his life. David was the youngest of eight of Jesse's boys. He was the youngest of eight. He was the runt of the litter in biblical terms. And his older brothers were given far more noble and respected positions as warriors, as soldiers, as community leaders. But it was David who was left in the fields to defend the sheep from dangerous prey. He was given the just stay out of trouble job. I don't know if any of you have had been a troublemaker in your family where you're given that spot. Just stay out of trouble. Don't do anything to embarrass the family. That was the task that David had before him. And that should make us think, because David had to deal with people placing low expectations on him. So how do you deal with the people in your life that place low expectations on you? Perhaps it is a boss or a customer that is demanding and loves to blame you for everything that goes wrong at work. Perhaps you have an in-law that you will never be able to please, no matter how hard you try or no matter how far you are willing to go. Or maybe you have a child or a really good friend that is convinced that you will never come through for them in the clutch, when things really matter, when the going gets tough. Do you try to cater to their lower expectations of you, or do you try to surprise them and exceed their expectations? Because how we respond to that defines us quite a bit as children of God. And one of my favorite writers, Malcolm Gladwell, actually wrote a book, David and Goliath. I would encourage you to really check out. It is a fascinating book. But he pointed out in his book that David used the low expectations that others placed on him to his advantage. That was the first thing he used. That was a bigger stone for him than the stone he actually held. Because David spent hours in those fields perfecting his slingshot accuracy. He got so good that scripture told us, Becky read it for us, that he could literally kill lions and bears with just his sling and his rock. Think about that. That's how gifted he was at what he could do. And furthermore, slingers were the snipers of the ancient army. If you actually go back to biblical warfare and you read the stories of ancient Israel and ancient Greece, you were a skilled marksman if you were called to be a slinger. You had to have pinpoint accuracy. And Gladwell actually calculated that the speed of the rock that David hit Goliath with had the stopping power of a .45 caliber handgun. Think about that. That's how powerful the slingshot that David was using. It had the power of a .45 caliber handgun. So don't think of David going to this battle as a little shepherd boy. Think of him going as a trained Navy SEAL for all intent purposes. He knew what he was doing and he was prepared to do it. And David became a legend because he refused to be the person everyone thought he needed to be in that moment in time. If he had been the person everybody thought he would have been, if he would have put on the clothing and tried to be a hand-to-hand warrior, he would have died. But he decided to change what people expected from him. And Jesus, in his life and his ministry, dealt with the same problem. The people of Israel wanted something completely different. They wanted a warrior king. They wanted Braveheart. And all they got was the sacrificial lamb, a man who was willing to lay his life down for others. And I think that should remind us. That should remind us that the expectations others place upon us should never be the driving force in our lives. The question you should ask yourself is, what does God expect from me today? What do I expect from me today? How can I exceed those expectations? Because being able to answer those two questions are far more important than trying to answer, what do others expect from me today? Our ability to free ourselves from the expectations of others could be the very thing that allows us to do something special or something awesome with our lives. And the thing about the people of Israel is not only did they misunderstand David, they completely misunderstood the expectations they should place on Goliath. Because they looked at Goliath and they saw this giant warrior who could never be beaten. He was the unconquerable foe. But what they didn't realize was this unconquerable foe was arrogant. He was slow. And he specialized in one very specific form of hand-to-hand combat. That's it. That was his dominant place. One form of hand-to-hand combat. So I want you to think about that. What are the Goliaths in your lives? What are the things, the personal challenges that you face every day that feel far bigger and stronger than you are equipped to deal with? And when I think about my own personal Goliaths, I think I always have to start with the fact that for me, growing up, my hearing loss was so easy to scapegoat for any issues or problems I had in my life. Internally, it was the reason my third grade dreams never came true. For some reason, I thought being deaf was the reason I couldn't hit a 60 mile an hour curveball, but that had nothing to do with it. I just wasn't that good of an athlete, to be honest. But you know how our mind works. We like to sugarcoat everything, and we like to take one thing and put it for the blame for everything. And internally, it prevented friendships for me. It blocked relationships, and it kept my self-esteem as something always in need of repair. But then I learned. I got educated. I looked at Scripture, and I saw how God could work through people like David. And I had to learn, like David, to trust in God and to see adversity not as a struggle, but as an opportunity to grow, an opportunity to grow as a child of God. And when I focused on that opportunity, it turned out my hearing loss wasn't just a Goliath. It was also responsible for a lot of good things in my life. It was responsible for teaching me about empathy, the experience that other people are going through. It was important to teach me about resiliency, that I could overcome things if I took the time and the effort to do so. And ironically, it made me a far better listener than when I had all my hearing, because I realized how valuable and precious it is to hear the words and conversations of others. It was a personal reminder for me that when it feels like God is benching us to the isolations of the field, that we've just been put out there to stay out of trouble, we have to think about what we're going to do with that time. Are we going to use that time to sit and mope and complain about the obstacles that we face? Or are we going to practice our shot? Are we going to strengthen ourselves for whatever battle lies ahead? Because we as children of God have to learn to see that God does not send Goliaths in our lives. God does not send Goliaths in our lives to punish us. God sends Goliaths in our lives to remind us that with the right amount of faith and opportunities, we can be equipped to slay beasts too. We can be equipped to tell the people around us that what they think can't be conquered, by the grace of God, most certainly can be defeated. And we have to look at what the world is facing today, and we have to apply those circumstances to the lessons that we are learning biblically. Because every time we turn on the news or open up our Facebook or our Twitter, we are told that COVID-19 is a beast that we will never conquer, a beast we will never defeat. And it feels like every time we hear a story about vaccines being distributed or another one being developed and cases plummeting around us, we also hear a follow-up story warning us about a more dangerous vaccine-resistant strain that is on the horizon or is already here. And I'm not saying don't listen to those stories. I'm just saying remember that the hope is there, that we will slay the beast. Don't be one of those people that are convinced that Goliath will never be slain, that the giant will always win. Preach and live hope for the sake of those who cannot or refuse to see that God will lead us to victory. If you really look at that story and you focus at it, this isn't a little boy with a slingshot. This is a remarkably trained and skilled person being equipped into the moment of battle that he was born to. And only two people believed he was capable of doing it: David and God. Yet in that moment, if they would have paid attention, all the Israelites could have seen it. And we have to remember that track record, because we have seen God lead Noah and his family to safety in the midst of the greatest flood the world has ever seen. We have seen God lead David to an improbable victory over Goliath that nobody believed he could do. And we have seen Jesus perform the greatest miracle humanity has ever witnessed by defeating death on the cross. So when you look at the circumstances you face personally this week, and you look at the circumstances that our world faces, that we are united in battle together, please be someone who continues to choose hope, choose faith, choose love. Because even when other people think people as flawed and as vulnerable as us are incapable of battle, remember David. Even when people think that the power of our foe is unmatched and unbeatable, think of Goliath. And when you think about the opportunity to choose hope in your life every single day in every different circumstances, think of God and what God can do for you, through you, and with you. Because when we choose hope, we have the opportunity to show those around us just how powerful, miraculous, and amazing our Lord and Savior truly is. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you and we just want to say thank you. Thank you for your presence in our lives. And we can ask that you remind us that we are up against many Goliaths in this world. Some of them are personal battles that we are facing, and you know all about them. Some of them are battles that we as a world are facing together. And we ask that you remind us that we are equipped, that we are being strengthened in our moments of adversity. And there is no struggle that you cannot redeem, that you cannot lead, and you cannot remind us of how wonderful and miraculous you are. So may we feel the presence of your redeeming and unconditional love in all we say and all we pray. In your blessed name we pray. Amen. This time we reflect on this message as we listen to the wonderful Lenten hymn, Beneath the Cross. Before I share with you our words of benediction, I want to remind you of our dismissal procedure. After I share the benediction, I'll be letting people go, but family by family. We ask that you leave promptly, and we are so grateful for the opportunity to worship in person again. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We want to thank you for joining us for this wonderful Sunday of worship. Those of you that are joining us on Facebook and Zoom, and we hope that everyone has a blessed Sunday and enjoys a wonderful day. At this time, I will now be dismissing people. Swallow family, you can go ahead. Neff family, you can go ahead. Great to have you with us for worship. Millie and Randy, you can go ahead. Dave, you can go ahead. Mountaineer family, you can go ahead. Tim, Linda, and Kathy, you can go ahead. Thank you.